Heavenly Father, we just invite you by your Holy Spirit to speak to us out of your word. Thank you that your word is alive and powerful, and it can go in and minister to us. And my prayer today, Father, as we talk about how you work, that every Christian here would understand that this is what you are and desire to do through them, that we trying to communicate, and we invite you to do that and show us in Jesus' name. Amen. In John 14, and I just would start with reminding of the verse here that I have at the bottom of the bulletin. That is really a pretty astounding thing that Jesus shares here as he is about to depart, walking with his own. But his plan, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father." The qualification for him, for you to do his works, the works that he's been doing, is first of all to belong to him, to be his own, but then to believe. And to believe that God can work through you the same kind of things that he was doing. And we'll try to talk about some of what that was. But pretty amazing thing that the Lord Jesus is setting forth here, that he intends this work, his work, to continue on. And you know that in John 14, Jesus is sharing now encouragement, as he's not going to be walking with his own, as he soon is going to be going back into heaven and after his resurrection, and shares with them, "I'm going to prepare a place for you where you can be, where I'm going to come and receive you to myself, that you can be where I am, and we can be with him forever," those that are his. but then he comes to this thing that I will be gone, but you that believe can carry on and do what I am doing here. And I think that's a pretty amazing statement, but I'd have you look at the verse really before that. He says in verse 10, "Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works." I would just stop there for a moment. We understand that Jesus came, God the Son, and ultimately to pay the price to rescue us, to be born in God's family. But he also came here to touch the lives of people, and to minister, and to walk, and show us how to live, and to face temptation, and overcome temptation, and all of that. It's kind of interesting to me that he says, it's the Father that does that in me. Earlier on, I think it was Thomas said, "Show us the Father." And he said, "I've been with you so long, you don't know that he's seen me, has seen the Father." And so, that is his way. My Father works through me, and now he is going to present, now I am going to work through you. And it's the same principle. And if he says that you'll do more, he had really 3 years of ministry. We have many, many longer opportunities and more people with Jesus living through them. But I really want to communicate somehow that this is what God wants to do through every believer, through every Christian, that Jesus, through you, would be doing the same kind of things that he did as he walked here and lived here. And you know that as John 14 goes on, he tells how that he's going to ask the Father, and he will give you the Holy Spirit that's going to come and live in you. And he says, "And I will come and be with him." Jesus Christ not only lives in where we meet in his name and acknowledge him, where two or three are gathered, but he lives in the believer, in the person of the Holy Spirit, to work through us and to do what needs to be done. And that's really what he then shares as he comes, what in our Bibles, to John 15, to be able to say that we're just a branch, and he's going to operate through us and live through us so that the works that he did here now can be done by him through him. And I'll refer to the back of the bulletin, but a number of different passages to me make it clear that whole principle that God is taking us weak, low, made lower than the angels, and using him, using us to work through us God's will and what's on his heart. And I guess I would just insert in being in the battle a lot, I have a sense that our enemy just hates God's plan. Hates God's plan that those of us made lower than the angels are endowed and with God's Spirit in us to be able to do God's work. I don't think he saw that coming when he brought beguiled Eve and brought our whole human race into dying spiritually. But God has worked a wonderful plan. Let me say something first of all about this matter of his works. What did he do? One of the things that I appreciate Peter was sharing when he went to Cornelius's house, and you know, these Gentiles wanted to know more, and God told him to go and share with them. And in Acts 10:39, he says, speaking of Jesus, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He went about doing good. Let me add, he washed feet. If it's common, ordinary kind of things, Jesus can do that through you. God, the Holy Spirit, living in you, can continue doing his works. He lived an example of how to live. and I think, when I think of what he did, I of course think of Luke 4, where he came home and read from Isaiah 61 and was able to share there with the people that he came with the Spirit of God on him. He'd already experienced the baptism by John and then temptation in the wilderness. He came home and he picked up Isaiah 61, and that crowd had no idea what they were going to experience that day. For Jesus to first of all read it and say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to declare the gospel. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal broken hearts. These are things he did. These are things that the Father in him was doing through him that he wants to continue to be done. To heal broken hearts, it's his work. Deliverance to the captives, sight to the blind. How important that God would open the sight not only to the reality of who he is. I thank Dorothy for her work on putting things on our website all the way from Kansas City. I listened to Tim's message the other day about the veil that's on us that needs to be taken off. And in that passage it says that Satan has blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the glorious light of the gospel should shine to them. And part of the work that God can use in your example and your life and what you share is to open the eyes of people. I'm very also concerned that God would open the eyes of people to this matter that we're not wrestling flesh and blood. We're in a spiritual battle. A lot of people, a lot of Christians are blind to that. They go on and struggle in the flesh and blood battle when really it needs to be addressed. He recovers sight to the blind and liberty to those that are bruised. That's what's on Jesus' heart. And you can just follow his life. But he is saying there in this verse that you can do now the things that I do. We know he came to pay the price for our salvation, but he came to show us how to live. He came to touch needs. He came because it's on the Father's heart. And the Father worked through him to do those things. And now God intends that the Lord Jesus will work through us. to touch the needs around us by his power and what what he intends. And I want to just, that's a bit of what he does, what he did. Just as you read scripture and read through the gospels and read through and see what Jesus did, he's calling you to do the same kind of things. Now, it's going to be Jesus doing it, and that's what he pointed out in John 15. You're just going to be a branch. You're just going to be a conduit. I like the word channels of blessing, just a channel, but it's his doing. And I want to say a word about who he uses and those not only who believe, but those who are humble enough to allow him to work and to that he would have the credit. I want to go back and look just a little bit at the passage that Wayne read this morning. I thought this would be helpful because Paul, writing to the Corinthians, realized that they were so much in lifting up people that they thought were powerful, people they thought were wise, and Paul is now sharing with them that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. It's one way of looking at it. The power of God is stronger than any of the power that you see of men. And then as he read, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many wise, not many noble are called." God uses the foolish things that the world might not think are so important to get his work done. I especially appreciate the one there in verse 28. And he uses those things that are not, King James, to bring to naught things that are. Now you can fill in the blank. And the Word of God says through Paul, coming from God, "I will use things that are not." I'm not very smart. I'm not very much of anything. And you can go on, but he uses you. Why? Not because of who you are in the flesh, but what he does through you. And he goes on to say, he does that so no flesh should glory in his presence. But then he says, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." And so it's how he works. And I wanted to consider some of the different ways that God has shown us, I think to help us get the point of how he wants to work through weak instrumentalities. And I say weak, it's not going to seem that way if God's at work in you and through you. But the glory goes to him as he works through us. Whether it is ministering to somebody, whether it is helping them in a time of sorrow to have comfort, whether it's a time to pray, and I didn't say that, but Jesus spent time praying. There's so many passages that says, "And he went and prayed." But we do have John 17, just an example of his intercessory prayer. He interceded while he was here. He ever lives to intercede as time goes on, as he's at the right hand of our Father. And first of all, there's an Old Testament one that I wanted to look at of how God used Gideon. And just in reference to the story, I know it's got to be common to you, but years ago I heard a man come to some kind of meeting, I don't know, but he shared this little poem he had come up with. "The Spirit clothed himself with Gideon," he makes the record say, "so that he became as nothing in the fray, but just a suit of working clothes the Spirit wore that day." There are different, if you go to different translation, it talks about the Spirit clothed him. Now, I like the thought of that, that the Spirit of God clothed him so that he was nothing in the battle, but just a suit of working clothes. We know that in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon a person sometimes, if God intended for his life, but for special tasks. And it says the Spirit of God came upon Gideon. And if you remember, it's in the book of the Judges. What a sad time, because they would get off into sin, then God would raise up a judge that bring them back living for God, And then the judge died, and then they go back into sin. Anyway, Gideon was one of those, and he was doing harvesting wheat in a wine press to hide out. He was hiding from the Midianites. And this angel of the Lord comes, I'm going to save Israel through you. But I just wanted you to know what he said. This is Judges 6:15. This is Gideon's testimony. Why me? My family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. That's where Gideon saw himself. We're the poorest family, and I'm the least in this poorest family. And the angel of the Lord said, God's going to use you. And you remember, ultimately, got an army together of 32,000. God says, too many. If you take that many, you're going to think we did it. So everybody that's afraid and everybody that just doesn't want to do this, go home. He had 10,000 left. God says, too many. You're still going to think you did it if we have victory. And you know the story. He tested them and how they drank water, and he came down to 300. And God said, I can use that. And how they defeated the Midianite army. But maybe you can think about that. I look at these different ones because sometimes some make more sense to us or something. But if you think about the Spirit of God lives in you, the Lord Jesus in the person of his Spirit works through you, lives through you, you're just suited working clothes. doesn't bring great honor and praise to the person, to their abilities, or even lack of abilities, but it's his work to get his glory, that no flesh should glory in his presence. The second one that I would look at again is what Jesus went on and told after he said that he's going to go away, and now you can do through me my works through you. And so he presents the vine and the branches, that I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. We're a branch. Suit of working clothes, a branch. I don't know which appeals to you. I kind of accept them all. what can a branch do except the life of Jesus Christ coming through you? And that's the illustration he used here. That God will use your life as a channel of coming through you, and the fruit that's born is his fruit. He doesn't want any flesh to glory in itself. And so another one of his illustrations, one that's become so meaningful to me, is this matter of yoking up with the Lord Jesus. And what an invitation in Matthew 11. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. You're carrying things that are too heavy. You come to me and I'm going to give you rest. And I've shared before that rest doesn't mean inactivity, but it means his activity through you. Yoke up with me. If you think about yoking up with incarnate God, if you think about Jesus Christ yoking up with you, how big's your part? How big's my part? I've often said in some of these spiritual battles, it's like having a front row place to sit to watch him work. Because it's his work to yoke up with him. I just wouldn't want to face a day without declaring, I choose to yoke up with you, Lord Jesus, so I'll be there where I should be, doing what I should do, when I should, and keep me that I won't be where I shouldn't be. It's a blessing that he came and said, yoke up with me. My burden's light. It's comfortable. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You'll find rest to your soul. So one of the ways that we can let God work through us is yoking up. And then I also wanted to look at the passage in 2 Corinthians 4, 6 and 7. It really comes after what what our brother was sharing last Sunday about the veil and the need for that veil to be removed and eyes to be open, that God commanded the light to shine out in darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But then he says this, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. So whether you want to look at it as that you are really a suit of working clothes going out there, that the Spirit of God is going to work through, speak through, minister through, or whether you want to see yourself as a branch. And you know also in John 15 that sometimes if you get too branchy, God will he'll prune you back, because he wants it only that he gets the glory, or that you see yourself yoked up with the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to go into whatever situation you're facing, trusting him for the outworking of his will and power in it. Or whether it's just that we are a weak earthen vessel that he chooses to work through. Paul goes on and says, sometimes at that earthen vessel, you kind of get beat up. And he says later on that life works in you, but death in us. It's the earthen vessel sometimes in the battles gets hit. But it's his work, because he claimed light to shine out of darkness has shined in your heart to give the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do know as a Christian, you carry that with you. And God wants to do that through you. And so I would just take us right back to that verse, thinking about that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. What Jesus came here to do, now he's the one, he died to bring us to God, and his sacrifice once forever. And so he hasn't called us to do that, but to live like he lived, to minister like he ministered. And it's not us doing it, it's his doing us through this, through us, if we see that clearly, that no flesh would glory in his presence. Lord Jesus, I just pray for every believer here to understand that this word that Jesus gave about doing his work was not to just some special Christians, but to every Christian that would believe and allow you, Lord Jesus, by your power to minister through them and through us what's on your heart. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that your concern for the needs of people and planet Earth and fallen creatures made lower than the angels, but redeemed by the blood of Christ, will be your instruments to accomplish what's on your heart and the people round about us. Lord, I pray that the truth of that would come home to the point that we will live in it and accept it and be ready to be used by you, Lord Jesus, in every one of our days. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. I just want us to sing a verse before we close here. I tried to pick a song, and I think the first verse of 567, I'll go where you want me to go. It may be across the street. It may be next door. Maybe overseas. Let's stand and sing verse 1. I'll go where you want me to go. Just as a word to the Lord, I'm available. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You live in me. Would you work through me through the hours of this day? 567, verse 1.
Thank you.
Lord, I just had the thought while we're singing that to be able to come home for Jesus to share, you did through me what was on my heart. Lord, I pray that you would use us for your glory in these very important days. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.